إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وآله وأصحابه وسلم أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما
Brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in these ayahs from His blessed and noble book reminds the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to observe taqwa of Allah azza wa jal, to observe piety towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to guard the limits of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to restrain themselves before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to preserve the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the ulama, they defined about the taqwa of Allah azza wa jalla, they said that taqwa is muhafizat adab al-shari'a wa mujanibatun kullu ma yub'iduka an Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wal iqtida bin nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qawlan wa fi'lan, that you guard and protect the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that you distance yourself from anything that will distance you from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that you obey and follow the Prophet of Allah alayhi salatu wa salam in speech and in action. And upon that occasion, when Sayyidina Umar, he approached Ubay ibn Ka'b and said to Ubay ibn Ka'b, what is taqwa of Allah? And Ubay ibn Ka'b said to Sayyidina Umar, oh Sayyidina Umar, have you ever walked down a narrow pathway? And Sayyidina Umar says, yes, indeed I have. And he says, well, what do you do? What do you find? He says, I find thorns and I find thistles in my way. I said, what do you do in that instance? He says, I lift my gown and I tread very carefully. And Ubay ibn Ka'b said to Sayyidina Umar, then that is taqwa of Allah Azza wa Jal. Giving him an analogy with regard to this world, that we're living in a very restricted and constrained existence. And in that existence, you will find obstacles in your way. You will find temptations in your direction. But what do? You lift yourself and you tread very, very carefully. Brothers, a few months ago we spoke about that legacy of that man who was called the shadow of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu. That man who, when the Prophet of Allah was asked, who do you love the most? He replied, I love my wife Aisha, Umm al-Mu'mineen radiyallahu anha. And they said, no, we mean amongst the men, who do you love the most? He says, I love her father, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu. That man, upon occasion when the Prophet needed so much money for Islam, it was him who bought his entire wealth. And when he was asked, what have you left for your family? He says, I have left Allah, I have left His Rasul for my family. And this is why he says, لا تصبوا أصحابي. Our Prophet, he says, never revile and abuse my companions. لا تصبوا أصحابي. فلو أن أحدكم أنفق مثل أحد ذهبا ما بلغ مد أحدهم ولا نصيفا. Because if one of you was to give gold equivalent to Mount Uhud, that would not compare to what they gave of a handful or even half of that. Because they gave it when it was needed the most. And this is why he says, if you put the iman of the entire ummah on one scale and the iman of Abu Bakr on the other scale, you would find the iman of Abu Bakr outweighing the iman of the entire ummah. You know, brothers, Ibn Mas'ud, he said, radiyallahu anhu, من كان مستنا فليستنى بمن قد مات فإن الحي لا تؤمن عليه الفتنة. He says, whoever wants to follow a path should follow the path of the one who is dead, because the living have not yet evaded their fitna. and their temptations and trials. And he goes on to say that these were the companions of the Prophet of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, and they were a people, قَوْمٌ اِخْتَرَهُمُ اللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى لِإِقَامَةِ دِينِهِ وَصُحْبَةِ نَبِيِّهِ. They were a people Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose for a very specific task. And that task was to establish the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that task was to accompany and befriend His Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And brothers and sisters, Allah chooses everything and everyone for a specific task. We spoke when Muharram was here, and Ashura, the day of Ashura came, how Allah specifies some days from amongst other days. We spoke when Ramadan came about the same issue. We give examples of people, Allah chose them above other people. Allah says in the Quran, ثُمَّ أَوْرَثْنَا الْكِتَابَ الَّذِينَ اصْطَفَيْنَا مِنْ عِبَادِنَا, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused to inherit the scripture some amongst the servants and slaves of Allah whom Allah chose. اصْطَفَيْنَا, Allah chose them. But even when Allah chose them, how does Allah describe them? Allah says, فَمِنْهُمْ ظَالِمُ لِنَفْسِهِ, amongst them was some who wronged their own souls, but still they're the servants of Allah. وَمِنْهُمْ مُقْتَسِدْ, amongst them are those who took a middle course. وَمِنْهُمْ سَابِقٌ بِالْخَيْرَاتِ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ, and amongst them were those who were foremost in good deeds with the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the fact remains, they were all the servants of Allah. Even those who wronged their own souls were the servants of Allah. And those who took the middle course were still chosen by Allah. So Allah chose all of them. And upon occasion when the Prophet's wife Aisha was asked, radiallahu anha, who are these people? Who are these three types of people? Look in her humility what she said. She said that those who were foremost in good deeds were those who came before us. The likes of Abu Bakr and Ali and Uthman and so on and so forth. And those who took a middle course were those who came after them. And those who wronged their own souls are the likes of me and you. In her humility towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah Azza wa Jal chose these people. Take the example of Sayyidina Umar and his khilafah radiallahu anhu. You know, Ibn Mas'ud, he said radiallahu anhu, that when Umar became a Muslim, it was on that day that the mushrikeen, they said that the Muslims have taken their vengeance against us. When Umar became a Muslim. Ibn Mas'ud, he said that Sayyidina Umar's conversion to Islam was a conquest for this religion. And his hijrah from Mecca to Medina was a victory for this religion. And his khilafah was a rahmah, a mercy for this religion. And Sayyidina Ali reports that no one could make that hijrah from Mecca to Medina unless he was in fear and insecurity. Except who? Except Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu. For when Sayyidina Umar made that hijrah from Mecca to Medina, what did he do? He went out. He prayed, he made tawaf around the Kaaba. He prayed two rakats at the Kaaba. And then he addressed his people. And he says, is there anyone today whose mother wants to lose him? Is there anyone today whose son would like to become an orphan? Is there anyone today whose wife would like to become a widow? For if there is, then meet me behind the valley. And Sayyidina Ali says, no one met Umar on that day. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had chosen Sayyidina Umar, like Allah chose Abu Bakr as-Siddiq for a very specific task. لِأَقَامَةِ دِينِهِ وَصُحْبَةِ نَبِيِّهِ, to establish the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to befriend His Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Upon occasion the Prophet wasallam, he says, I was asleep and I saw myself in paradise. And he says, I saw a palace, and besides the palace was a woman making wudu. And so I asked, لِمَنْ هَذَا, for who is this? And he says, in my dream a reply came, this is for Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu. And so he said, so فَذَكَرْتُ غَيْرَةُ عُمَرْ فَوَلَّيْتُ مُدْبِرًا, he says, and so I remembered the ghayra of Umar, the jealousy of Sayyidina Umar, and so I turned my back away from this woman. And Anas relates, who was in the gathering when the Prophet was there and Umar was there, that when he relayed this hadith, baka Umar, Umar cried, and he said to the Prophet of Allah, Ya Rasulullah, A'alayka aghar, would I ever have that jealousy from you, O Messenger of Allah? These were mountains Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave to this Ummah. But the fact remains, brothers, and the point from this khutbah is, just look how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala utilized people that Allah chose, even though they were so different from one another. Umar was that man who was so courageous, Umar was that man who was the pillar of the community. The Sahaba, they said that when Sayyidina, before Umar became Muslim, none of us could pray at the Kaaba. When Umar became Muslim, all of us went to pray at the Kaaba, because who would dare fight with Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu? And then look towards his Khilafah, how it was a rahmah for this Ummah. Aslam, he relates radiallahu anhu, that Sayyidina Umar was leaning beside the wall. And when he was leaning at that behind, he heard two women discussing from inside of the house, a mother and a daughter. And the mother says to the daughter, "Oh my daughter, mix the milk with water." And the daughter replies, "Oh mother, haven't you heard of the command of the Amir al-Mu'mineen?" She says, "No, what is that?" And she says, "He has forbidden us from mixing the milk with the water." And then she says to her daughter, "Well, look, he's not here now, so mix the milk with the water. And the daughter says, "Do you think I would obey him in public and I would disobey him in private?" And Umar was so impressed, he says to Aslam, who was walking by, "Mark this house with an axe and come back the next day and ask if any of these two women are married." And Aslam does that, and he comes to Sayyidina Umar and he says, "They're unmarried." What does Umar do? He calls his sons, Abdurrahman, Abdullah and Asim. He asked them, "Abdurrahman, are you married?" Abdurrahman says, "I'm fine and well, I'm married." Abdullah is married. Asim is unmarried. He calls this daughter who says this to her mother, and he brings her. And he marries his son Asim with this woman. They marry. They have a daughter. That daughter gives birth to who? Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, radiallahu anhu, who the ulama called the first mujaddid and reviver of Islam. هَلْ جَزَاءُ الْإِحْسَانِ إِلَّا الْإِحْسَانِ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, is there any reward for good except good? Will anything come from good except good, Allah says? Is there any results, product from good actions except taqwa to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? No. If you work good, then your result will be good. And if you work evil, your result will be evil. And so the ulama says that the most, Yahya ibn Mu'adh, says the most naive thing in my mind is for the one who plants the seed of Jahannam. He plants the seed of hell, and he's waiting for the harvest of Jannah. He plants the seed of hell, but he's waiting for the harvest of paradise. No. You plant the seed of paradise, and inshallah you will have paradise. You plant the seed of hell, and you know, you will have hell. So that was Sayyidina Umar and his Khilafah, radiallahu anhu. Upon occasion, he was riding a short-legged camel. And who walks past? Sayyidina Ali walks past, radiallahu anhu. And Sayyidina Ali says, "Oh Umar, you are disgracing your successors, because people will see this behavior of yours and they will imitate that after you." And Sayyidina Umar says, "Look, one of the charity camels has run away, and this is why I'm confined to this." And he says, "Don't blame me, O Abu al-Hasan, because if a she-goat or a she-camel drowned on the Euphrates coast, Allah would punish Umar because of that." Meaning his taqwa to Allah, even care and concern for all the creation of Allah, including the animals. Brother, think for a moment about the life and legacy of Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu. And then, you know, if you think about rifq, the hadith, it says, "Inna rifq la yakunu fi shay'in illa zana, wa la yunza'u min shay'in illa shana." That compassion is not in anything except that it beautifies that thing. And it's not removed from anything except that it stains and blemishes that thing. And Allah is rafiq, yuhib rifq fil amri kulli. And Allah is compassionate and loves compassion in every affair. Think about Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu, who gave everything for Allah, gave all of his wealth for Allah. Upon occasion when the Prophet needed money and needed wealth for Islam, it was Sayyidina Umar. So Abu Bakr gave everything. Umar gave what he could. And then our Prophet asked, "Who will give more?" And Sayyidina Uthman got up and he gave 300 camels. And he sat down. And then he asked, "Who will give more?" And who got up again? Uthman got up and says, "I will give 300 camels. And he sat down and he says, "Who will give more?" And he got up the third time and said, "I will give 300 camels. And the Prophet said that, "After this, O Uthman, you have nothing to fear. Nothing can harm you after this day, because of what you've given for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." Think about Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu, the privilege of being the only one in human history for having married two daughters of the Prophet of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam. In human history, no one has married two daughters of any prophet except Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu. Think about his legacy and how much he suffered for Allah. And how much they plotted and they planned against him to assassinate him and to kill him. But his integrity and how he would say, I don't want anyone to shed blood in my name. I don't want anyone. And who came to defend him except the family of the Prophet of Allah, Imam Hassan and Hussein radiallahu anhumah. And they were covered with blood in defending him when his house was besieged. And he was denied water even though he was the first one to buy the well of Rumah. In fact, there was a time where he quenched the thirst of the entire Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because that was the size of the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But he did that, but they denied him water. And so he would leave it and he said, you deny me water even though I bought this well for you. They denied for him to pray in the mosque of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he would say, I am the one, I bought this mosque and I extended it for you, but you deny me to pray here. And so much barakah left this ummah with the killing of Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu. In fact, Hudhayfa bin Yaman, he relates and he says, أَوَّلُ الْفِتَنْ قَتْلُ عُثْمَانِ وَآخِرُ الْفِتْنِ خُرُوجَ الدَّجَّالِ. He says the first fitna to emerge in this ummah was the killing of Uthman, and the last fitna will be the emergence of the Dajjal. Because barakah left this ummah with his killing. Look at the time when he was killed, brothers. When he was outside of his house and he was reading the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and a man jumped over the wall and he pulled the beard of Sayyidina Uthman. And Uthman says, you know, you're pulling the beard of the one whose your father honored this beard. You're showing disrespect to the beard that your father honored. And the man, out of fear, he left, and then two other men came in. And they struck Uthman on his hand, and his hand was cut, and he says, by Allah, this was the first hand that wrote the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they jumped on him and they killed him. And they dragged him to the garbage tip. And they denied him a burial. And it was the Prophet's wife, Habiba, who came out. And she covered his face with her scarf. And she says, by Allah, if you deny him a burial, I will leave Medina with his body and with my head uncovered, and I will go and bury him myself. And the Sahaba, they says, if she had left with her head uncovered, Allah would send stones from the sky to pelt these people because of what they denied him. Imam Hassan relates radiallahu anhu a dream he had of the Prophet of Allah, and he says, I saw the Prophet of Allah in my dream and he was upset, and this was the only time I ever saw him upset in my dream. And he is standing under the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Abu Bakr as-Siddiq comes behind him and places his hand on his shoulder. And then Sayyidina Umar comes behind him and places his hand on the shoulder of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And then Sayyidina Uthman comes full of blood and drenched in blood. And he says, Ya Rasulullah, O Messenger of Allah, for what crime was I slaughtered like a cow? For what crime was I slaughtered like a cow? And Imam Hassan says that in that dream, the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shook. The arsh of Allah shook. Because the fact remains, you don't know who you're dealing with, because Allah chose all of them. لِصُحْبَةِ نَبِيهِ وَإِقَامَةِ دِينِهِ, like Ibn Mas'ud says, to establish the deen of Allah and to befriend his Prophet alayhi salatu wa salam. Abu Hurairah speaks about his pouch full of dates. The pouch in which the Prophet ﷺ, he blew in and read in. And from that pouch of dates, he fed so many people, tens and tens of people, because there was barakah in those dates. And Abu Hurairah relates that when the Prophet ﷺ was alive, I would eat from those dates, from that one pouch. When he passed away during the Khilafah of Sayyidina Abu Bakr, I would eat from that pouch. When he passed away, I would eat from the pouch in the Khilafah of Sayyidina Umar. But when Sayyidina Uthman was killed, I couldn't eat from that pouch because the dates they finished. Because of the barakah that was lifted from this Ummah. And so the fact remains, brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose from amongst His servants, اصطفينا من عبادنا. Allah chose them. And why the life of Uthman for many was a travesty? Because people didn't understand his worth and his value and who he was. the companion of the Prophet of Allah alayhi salatu was salam. You know, before he was killed, before they jumped over the wall to stab him, Sayyidina Uthman got up and he fastened his trousers. He tightened his trousers. Why? Because upon occasion, when the Prophet ﷺ, he was in his house and Abu Bakr came in. And the Prophet ﷺ, he had his thighs uncovered. But Abu Bakr came in that state. And the Prophet of Allah remained in that condition. Abu Bakr left, Umar came in. He remained in the condition. And Aisha is watching and observing him, radiallahu anha. And then he left, and then Sayyidina Uthman came in. And the Prophet of Allah got up and he straightened himself. And then Uthman left, and his wife asked, Ya Rasulullah, why did you do that? Only when Sayyidina Uthman came in. And he says to her, Ala astihi min rajulin tastihi minhu al malaika? Should I not be shy from the one that even the angels are shy from? Even the angels are shy of. Think of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, how Allah chose him. During the Ghazwa of Tabuk, the Prophet of Allah, he left him behind. And so Sayyidina Ali says, Ya Rasulullah, atukhalifuni fi nisa'i wa sibyan? He says, why are you leaving me with the women and the children? And the Prophet of Allah, he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, أَمَا تَرْضَى أَن تَكُونَ مِنِّي بِمَنْزِلَةِ هَارُونَ مِنْ مُوسَى غَيْرَ أَنَّهُ لَا نَبِيَ بَعْدِ He says, O Ali, aren't you pleased and content that you are unto me like Harun was to Musa alayhi salam, except that there is no prophet after me? Each one of them Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose, and they used their skills and they used their resource and they used their knowledge and their iman and taqwa to establish the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if we're going to take a lesson from their lives, then remember, brothers, that we're all different. We're all different, and we have variations amongst us. And maybe we have different understandings and some different opinions and so on and so forth. But the one thing, the inseparable bond that connects all of us is the kalima, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. And as long as we adhere to this kalima and never compromise this kalima and die upon La ilaha illallah, never making shirk or kufr with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then that bond between us is inseparable. But we're all different. But Allah still chose all of us. Why did Allah choose all of us? Because Allah reserved us for the end of time. Allah reserved us as the last ummah for the end of time. Allah reserved us to be the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the first ummah to enter paradise. Allah reserved us to be from amongst that nation. The hadith in Ahmad says, "Antum tuwaffuna sab'ina ummah, antum khayruha wa antum akramu ala Allah azza wa jalla." That you are the last of 70 nations and you are the best of them and you are the most honored of them to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah reserved us, like the hadith it says, أَهْلُ الْجَنَّةِ إِشْرُونُ مِئَةُ صَفٍ وَهَذِي الْأُمَّةِ مِنْ ذَلِكْ ثَمَانُونَ صَفًا. That the people of paradise are 120 rows and this ummah takes up 80 of those rows. So Allah reserved us, Allah chose us for a specific task. Let's use our skills and not be deceived by this world. Let's use us, for Allah saved us. And that's a blessing and that's a privilege. And we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that. We thank Allah for the blessing of Islam, and this is sufficient as a blessing for us. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us realize the blessing Allah has conferred upon this ummah, and to allow us to understand and realize the examples of those who came before us, so that we can follow in their paths. And we ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to shower blessings and peace upon His Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Brothers, please move forward to allow space for those who are still coming. Inna alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salam ala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa salam. Brothers, there is one very important hadith for us. And this hadith, كان أبو إدريس الخولاني إذا حدث هذا الحديث جثى على ركبتي. This hadith, when Abu Idris al-Khawlani would narrate this hadith, he would kneel on the floor out of respect for the magnitude of this hadith. He would kneel on the floor out of respect for the magnitude of this hadith. And this hadith, wallahi, if we really understand this hadith, we would never fear anyone except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we would only trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then we would only ever hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For in this hadith, Allah says in a hadith Qudsi, Ya ibadi, inni harramtu zulma ala nafsi wa ja'altu baynakum muharraman fala tazalamu. Allah says, O my servants, I have forbidden injustice upon myself, and I have forbidden the same amongst you, so do not show injustice or oppression towards one another. Deal justly and with equality between each other, don't be unjust towards one another. Ya ibadi, Allah says, O my servants, kullukum dalun illa man hadaytu fastahduni ahdikum. O my servants, you're all astray, you're all in error, all misguided except for the one I guide. So ask me for guidance and I will guide you. And all of us in our natural state, we're all astray. All of us are all in a state of misguidance and deviation. Except for the one Allah guides. And so Allah says, ask me for hidayah. Ask me for guidance and I will guide you. So when you say in your salah, ihdina al-sirat al-mustaqim, say it with sincerity. Say it with iftirar, with desperation to Allah that we're all astray unless Allah guides us. So ask Allah sincerely for guidance and Allah will guide you. Ya ibadi kullukum arin illa man kasawtu fastaksuni aksikum. Allah says, O my servants, you're all naked except for the one I clothe. So ask me for clothing and I will clothe you. Ya ibadi kullukum ja'un illa man at'amtu fastat'imuni at'imkum. O my servants, you're all hungry except for the one I feed. So ask me for food and I will feed you. We could have woken up this morning with a musibah in our households. We could have woken up this morning and poverty has befallen us. But we woke up this morning and we had food. And that food is from Allah. And Allah fed us. But there are many who woke up this morning without food. So ask Allah for food and Allah will feed you. Ya ibadi, إِنَّكُمْ تُخْطِئُونَ بِاللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ وَنَغْفِرُ الظُّنُوبَ جِمِيعًا فَاسْتَغْفِرُونِ يَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ. O my servants, you transgress my commands by day and by night. But I forgive all sins, so ask me for forgiveness and I will forgive you. Our Prophet says, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ تُوبُوا إِلَىٰ رَبِّكُمْ فَإِنِّي أَتُوبُوا إِلَىٰ اللَّهِ فِي الْيَوْمِ مِئَةً مَرَّةً. O people, seek repentance from your Lord, for I seek His repentance 100 times a day. Allah says, O my servants, إِنَّكُمْ لَنْ تَبْلُغُوا ضَرِّي فَتَضُرُّونِي وَلَنْ تَبْلُغُوا نَفْعِي فَتَنْفَعُونِي. You will never, so as to ever attain any benefit to me. And you will never harm me in anything. يَا عِبَادِي, O my servants, لَوْ أَنَّ أَوَّلَكُمْ وَآخِرَكُمْ وَإِنْسَكُمْ وَجِنَّكُمْ. If the first of you and the last of you in creation, and the human of you and the jinn of you, كانوا على أتقى قلب رجل واحد منكم ما زاد ذلك في ملكي شيئا. If you were all in the heart of the most pious one of you, that will not increase my kingdom in anything. So realize, brothers, never to ever have any arrogance because of some good that you think you may be doing. Because that good that you're doing benefits Allah in nothing, but it only benefits you. So never think that you can change anything or the world, except that Allah changes everything and the world. But your actions are a benefit for you and not for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya ibadi, لو أن أولكم وآخركم وإنسكم وجنكم. O my servants, if the first of you and the last of you, and the human of you and the jinn of you, كانوا على أفجر قلب رجل واحد منكم ما نقص ذلك من ملكي شيئا. If the first and the last and the human and the jinn were in the heart of the most evil one of you, then that will not decrease my kingdom in anything. Not decrease my kingdom in anything. And Allah says, O my servants, if the first of you, the last of you, the human of you and the jinn of you, قاموا في سعيد واحد, if all of you were in one place, فسألوني, and all of you asked me for everything, فَأَطَيْتُ كُلِّ إِنسَانٍ مَسْأَلَةً, and I gave to every human being everything he asked for. مَا نَقَصَ ذَلِكَ مِمَّا عِنْدِي إِلَّا كَمَا يَنْقُصُ الْمِخْيَطُ إِذَا أُدْخِلَ الْبَحْرَ. that will not decrease anything in what I have, just like a needle will not decrease the ocean when it's placed in the ocean. And then Allah says, O my servants, إِنَّمَا هِيَ أَعْمَالُكُمْ. Allah says, these are your actions, أُحْصِيهَا لَكُمْ. So take care of your actions. These are your actions, so take care of your actions. Don't let anyone spoil your actions. Anyone blemish and stain and taint your actions. But these are your actions, and when you die you will have your actions, not someone else's actions. So these actions of yours, look after them. That belief of yours, look after that. That tawheed of yours, protect and preserve it. When a man came upon Sahal ibn Abdullah and says, Ya Sahal, Al-Lussu dakhala dari wa akhadha matai. He says, Oh Sahal, a man entered my house and stole my possessions. And Sahal ibn Abdullah says to him, Ishkurillah, thank Allah. فَلَوْ دَخْلَ عَلَيْكَ لُصُّ قَلْبَكَ. Because if the thief of your heart entered your heart, وَهُوَ الشَّيْطَانَ, and that's shaytan, وَأَفْسَدَ عَلَيْكَ التَّوْحِيدَ, and corrupted in your heart, لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهَ, مَاذَا كُنْتُ تَصْنَعَ. What then would you do? What would you do in that instance? So Allah says, these are your actions, أُحْصِيهَا لَكُمْ ثُمَّ وَفِيكُمْ إِيَّاهَا, and then I will take you to account because of your actions. فَمَنْ وَجَدَ خَيْرًا فَلْيَحْمَدِ اللَّهِ. So whoever finds good should only praise Allah. وَمَنْ وَجِدَ غَيْرَ ذَلِكَ فَلَا يُلُمَنَّ إِلَّا نَفْسَ. But whoever finds other than that should only blame himself. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His infinite mercy to shower us with His rahmah and His grace, and to forgive us, for we transgress the commands of Allah by day and by night. We ask Allah azza wa jal to make us people of amal and ikhlas, and to protect these actions and sincerity of ours. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to relieve the afflictions of this ummah, to help the Muslimin, mustad'ifin, wherever they are. We ask Allah to give nusra and tamkeen and support for those who are struggling in the cause and way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah azza wa jal to help the widows of this ummah, to help the orphans of this ummah, to help the oppressed of this ummah, to help the weak ones and the children of this ummah. We ask Allah to allow the children of this ummah to become an inspiration for us, an inspiration for those who come before after them, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Allahumma ihdina fi man hadayt, wa afina fi man afayt, wa tawallana fi man tawallayt, wa barik lana fi ma a'tayt, wa qina sharra ma qadayt. Fa innaka taqdi wa la yuqda 'alayk, innahu la yadhillu man walayt wa la ya'izzu man 'adayt. تبارك ربنا وتعاليت. نستغفرك اللهم ونتوب إليك. اللهم أفرج علينا الصبر وتوفنا مسلمين. اللهم ثبتنا عند الموت بلا إله إلا الله, لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إنا كنا من الظالمين. And we ask Allah to send peace and prayers and blessings upon His beloved Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم and His family and His companions. والحمد لله رب العالمين. Brothers, أقيموا الصلاة.